This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about a topic that's pretty great. We have been going through the book of Mark in our Bible study, and so many times it talks about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. How many of you have ever heard that phrase before? A lot of you have heard that phrase before. And this morning, we're going to kind of look at what the kingdom of God is, and I'm going to tell you it is fantastic. Now, the kingdom of God has kind of two phases, and I need to get out my own notes so that I'm following my own notes. The kingdom of God happens kind of in two phases. So the first phase starts now in the life of a believer, okay? First phase of it starts now in the life of the believer. The second phase is the future aspect of the kingdom of God, which resurrected believers will be able to enjoy. Now, you might wonder, how does something start now and continue on in the future? Well, let me ask you this. How do you know you're part of a kingdom? Nobody knows. It's by who your allegiance is to, right? So if you have allegiance to a king, or like for many years, Canada was under some sort of allegiance to Queen Elizabeth, right? So it's who your allegiance is to, who your sympathies lie with, who you're going to follow, and whose rule you're going to be under. That's what makes a kingdom a kingdom. If there's no power in that kingdom, if that ruler has no power over you, then it ceases to be a kingdom because the power is no longer there. So a kingdom is really about what goes on inside of the heart and the mind of a person, who your allegiance is to. The kingdom of God works in that way. It's who you respect. It's who you give allegiance to. And in the kingdom of God, we obviously give allegiance to God and his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the first phase starts now in our hearts. Okay, and we're going to go into that in a little bit. And the second phase is the future aspect of the kingdom of God, which resurrected believers will be able to enjoy. We just sang the song about I will rise, and when he calls my name, we just sang about that. That is when that begins. So, looking a little bit further on, and some of this you'll find in your bulletin, some of it you won't if you're filling in the blanks. Jesus gave us many teachings, including parables about what the kingdom of God is like. So anytime you're reading through and it says the kingdom of God is like a net, the kingdom of God is like a man who had a pearl of great price, the kingdom of heaven is like this, kingdom of God is like this. He gives us parables to let us know what it is that the kingdom of God is like. Okay? And these teachings include anything that Jesus said that begins with the kingdom of God is like or the kingdom of heaven is like, because they are emphasizing the same set of ideas. Okay, so whenever you run across that in Scripture, they're emphasizing the same set of ideas. Many of these principles and characteristics that the believer should follow and hope to obtain in this life to practice being a good kingdom citizen. You know, about some of the parables are about forgiveness and acceptance, right? Those are things we're supposed to practice as Christians today, right? Some of them are about being fair. Some of them are about being merciful, about being forgiving. Those are things we need to do today. Being prepared. Those are things we need to do today. Being watchful. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins who were watching for the bridegroom to come. So we have all of these parables and teachings that Jesus gives to us. And they are meant for us here in this life now, because this is a practice run for the future. We need to have it now, but it's a practice run for the future. Those who become believers in this life become kingdom citizens with their allegiance to God and his son Jesus presently, and have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which guarantees their citizenship in the future kingdom of God. So if you become a believer in this life, you choose to have your allegiance be to God in this life. In the future, when Jesus comes with his kingdom ready for us, you know that you've got a spot. And how do you know? You've also been preparing because you've been trying to live by the principles and characteristics that Jesus is teaching. So, Dave, did you get all that so far? No? Okay. So, we need to pay attention to what Jesus' teachings were. When you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see what his teachings are, and those are the things that we should be looking to do today. Okay. I want us to look at a few verses about the now aspect of the kingdom of God. We know that Jesus taught about the kingdom of God a lot. That was his main thrust of teaching while he lived on this earth. He didn't teach about, he taught his disciples about his death and resurrection, but the other things that he taught were kingdom principles and kingdom characteristics. In Mark, the first chapter, if you want to turn there with me, you can. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus talks to his disciples, and at verse 14 he says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus was saying, the kingdom of God is near. Pay attention. You're going to hear about it. So, in Matthew 6:33, we know that the importance of the kingdom of God is extremely important and that we should seek the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6:33, it says, I wore my wrong glasses today, so you'll have to excuse me for a second. For the, let's see, 6:33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This passage is talking about prayer ahead of it. If you read this verses around it, it's talking about prayer and about the different things that you can ask for in prayer. And Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. The things that you need will be given to you if you seek God's kingdom first. Well, how do you do that? Well, by following the principles that Jesus taught, by following the characteristics that he asks us to do to be kingdom citizens. If you are a believer, you are currently a kingdom citizen. You may not have exactly what you're going to have in the future yet, but you are preparing, and you are already a kingdom citizen if you believe in Jesus. The kingdom of God is all about allegiance, and it's allegiance to the characteristics and the principles that God desires his people to have in worshipful response to him. Our act of worship is to try and obey the things that Jesus taught. Those are our acts of worship, and that's important. That's how the kingdom of God comes into our hearts right now. That's the present aspect of the kingdom of God. But there's a future aspect as well. Now, there are other scriptures that you can look up this morning, that you can look up on your own time, and I'm not going to go into some of those at the moment, because I want to focus on the future aspect. What happens in the future aspect? The future aspect of the kingdom of God. Well, what are we to do to prepare for the future kingdom of God? What are we to do to prepare? Because we want to be prepared, right? Pardon me? Get other people ready. That would be one thing we can do. That's what we should be doing. What we all should be doing is getting people ready for Jesus' return and for his coming kingdom. Now, first of all, we need to accept Jesus as the sacrifice for our sins. And we have to place our allegiance with the Lord, right? We have to be on his team. We have to choose the ways that are his ways. Are we going to be successful all the time? Probably not. Any of you really gotten ticked off at somebody who missed your bumper by about that much? I'll admit it, I have. Okay. I've gotten ticked off with people who have, you know, nearly taken off the front of the car. I think, Jeremy, you were with me when we were crossing the border and that man went around all the traffic on the Peace Bridge. He went in the oncoming lane to come around all of us who are stopped to see if he can butt in at the very front. Okay. There was no way I was going to let that man in, okay? Nor was anyone else going to let him in, because we had all been sitting there forever. And Jeremy and Danielle and I think Luke were on that trip. They can all attest to that. We had been sitting there forever. And we, what was that? You were sleeping the whole car ride? Well, you woke up for part of this, I remember, but... So he went around, and he's trying to get in at the front and trying to get in at the front, and nobody would let him in. I wasn't going to let him in either, but he got himself right up so close that if I didn't let him in, I was going to lose the whole front of my car. And I thought, I don't want us to be here for another 5 hours blocking up a lane of traffic because of an accident, and I don't want him getting the front of my car. But that made me disgusted, okay? I would have to say that my kingdom principles of patience and kindness were really put to the test, okay? So, what are we to do to prepare for the future kingdom of God? Well, we need to accept Jesus as our sacrifice. We need to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we're to follow him. And then we're supposed to try and live for him, following these principles. Trying with his spirit inside of us to be successful at that. There are some things that are brought out in 2 Peter. If you look at 2 Peter, the first chapter. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 5. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, bless you, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus is the king in the kingdom of God. God gave Jesus the authority to be the king. Our allegiance should lie there. That's how we are to prepare. Add to your goodness, faithfulness. To your faithfulness, self-control, self-discipline. These are things that we need to do to prepare for the future kingdom of God. Now, the Apostle Paul encouraged the New Testament believers in Ephesus about the future kingdom of God. And in Ephesians, the first chapter, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he encourages them about the future kingdom of God, to look forward to it with hope. We're going to look at verse 16. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We are the ones that Christ is preparing. We are his church, the body of believers. The Apostle Paul wanted to encourage us to not lose sight of that eternal hope that we have. Now, I want us to look a little further about the kingdom of God and what happens in the future. Now, I want to bring something to your attention. It says in Acts, the first chapter, in Acts 1, 6, the disciples asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore your kingdom to Israel? Here he had been talking to them about the kingdom of God and giving them all the principles to live by, and they are expecting him to overthrow the Roman government right at that time and have his kingdom right then and there. That's what their mindset was. That's what they were thinking. They had a different kind of present aspect, right, than what we do. However, I want to go back just for one moment, because I don't think we looked at Luke 17. In Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. So I'm going to backtrack for just a second. Luke 17, 20 through 21. If you didn't get that in your blank in the bulletin, you can put that in now, up where it says Luke. In Luke 17, 20 and 21, Jesus says, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. That's the aspect of it's starting now. And the disciples had heard that, but they didn't quite get it, because they were still looking for the kingdom of God to happen right then, right there. They were looking for that to happen. And that was very reasonable, because the Messiah had been promised. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And they knew that he was going to make things right for Israel. But they expected it right then and there. But that wasn't what the bigger plan was. And us Gentiles have so much to be grateful for because of that. Because the good news hadn't been spread to all of the Jews yet, and it hadn't been spread to us Gentiles. It's not until the disciples in the book of Acts realize that God wants all of us to have the good news that it got spread to the Gentiles. That's us. Unless you're of Jewish heritage, that's us. And so they were expecting it at that time, and Jesus is like, by Acts chapter 1, and I don't know if you remember what happens in Acts chapter 1, it's before the day of Pentecost, it's when Jesus ascends up into heaven. Right before he ascends into heaven, the disciples say, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he says, Jesus replies to them, and then he is taken up into heaven. And the two angels are standing there saying, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus which has gone up from you shall return in like manner as you have seen him go. And they didn't see him after that. But yet they spread the message. And it wasn't until the day of Pentecost, which you read about in Acts chapter 2, that you find out that finally it clicks. Have you ever had an aha moment? Well, that was the disciples' aha moment. They finally get it that Jesus' kingdom starts in here now, but it's coming in the future. And that it wasn't overthrowing the Romans right then, that there was a much bigger, better picture in store. That it wasn't just for this little part of the world, but that it was for the entire world. But they don't have that aha moment until Acts chapter 2. Now, the future kingdom of God, what will it be like? How do we be found worthy of it? Well, we want to be found worthy of the kingdom of God. If we look in Matthew, the 25th chapter, Matthew 25 is a parable that Jesus told. However, it's pretty clear. We're going to look at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and who is the Son of Man? Jesus, right? When he comes in his glory, that's when his kingdom comes. And all the angels with him, when the trumpet sounds, the angels come, right? He will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So how long has this kingdom been in preparation? From before you and I were born. From the very beginning, God knew that this was going to happen. He had a plan, and this is the best story ever told, right? But the best part of it, it's true. It's absolutely going to happen. So, he says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Do you know which part of that you want to be on? I know which part I want to be on. You definitely want to be the one that did the right thing as much as you could, as much as it depended on you. We want to be found worthy of the kingdom of God, that we were doing what we were supposed to, or at least giving it our best shot. There are some people you can't help. You can do your best, but at some point you run out. But do the best you can when you can, right? Now, the next thing, and this is such a glorious passage. If we look at Revelation, the 5th chapter, after the dead in Christ have been raised, and you can read about that in 1 Thessalonians 4, after the dead have been raised, Christ comes, the dead have been raised, the trumpet sounds, and says, and forever we shall be together with the Lord. Now, here's something that happens, and it's all because of Jesus that any of this happens. Jesus is the key, the cornerstone. Now you know why he has all of those different titles. It's because everything hinges on Jesus. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 living creatures and the elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's us. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The 4 living creatures said, amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. Jesus is that hinge. He's the one. He's the king of the kingdom. He's the one who's worthy to open the scroll. He's the one who has purchased men for God. He's the one who our allegiance is to. It's part of the plan, God's kingdom plan. Well, there's a lot of different things that happen. Part of the future kingdom of God, the future aspect, which resurrected believers will be a part of, is found in Revelation 20. And we're going to look at the first six verses. It says, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. That is amazing! And that's just the start. That's just the start. What happens after that 1,000 years? Well, it says the devil is let short for a short period of time. He's let loose. But we know what happens. God wins. Jesus defeats him. Right? And then it says, after Jesus defeats him, that God comes and makes his dwelling place with man. Says that we won't need the sun or the moon anymore to give us light, because it says that God and Jesus are the light in that time period. And that we will dwell in his light. And that is beautiful. I can't even imagine it. Okay? Like, since we are resurrected and have eternal life, things just get better and better being a part of the future kingdom of God forever. Like, forever. You don't have to say goodbye to your friends, because you're going to see them. Your friends that are resurrected with you. That's why it's important to make sure that people are believers in this life, right? Because that determines what happens in the future. So that should be one of our priorities, is to help people understand that's important to follow Jesus. Important to give their allegiance to Jesus, because it's God's plan. And that God has all of this great stuff in store. Stuff that we can't even imagine. There is a Bible verse that says, we can't even fathom or understand the magnificent and wonderful things that God has in store for us. That's the best news ever. No more leaky taps. No more toilets that won't flush. No more going hungry. No more not getting enough sleep. No more being sick. Cancer will be ground into the ground and smushed and absolutely no more. We won't hear about anybody else having that. We won't hear about all of these problems. We'll be in our made new glorified bodies. I'm looking forward to seeing a few people that I know who can't walk. I'm looking forward to seeing them walk. One of the elders in my previous church, Elder Boyd Davis, he was stooped over and he walked with a stick and he walked like this all the time. Now, if he was sitting in a chair, he was upright, but to walk, he was like this. And the reason he was like that is because he had suffered from polio as a young man and he had been in an iron lung, and it left him in that condition. He was grateful for every day of life he had. And you know what? In the kingdom of God, I'm going to see him, and he's going to be standing upright. He's not going to need a scooter. He's not going to need a pole. He's not going to need anything. And in fact, I'm looking forward to him running races, because I heard he was a good runner in his day. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. There are other people who I know who have infirmities or different things. A friend of mine, Sarah, had a stroke when she was 5 years old, and she has always had repercussions from that and lived with repercussions from that. And she has always walked slow, walked a little funny, just had various difficulties throughout life. When I see her in the kingdom of God, she's going to be smiling and singing and walking. And I'll bet she's going to start running too, because she doesn't run in this life. I mean, what she does as running does not constitute what we think of as running. She's going to be running, and that's going to be great. All of these things, Penny, you're going to get to hear everything without any assistance. It's going to be great. Fred's not going to need glasses. Will we recognize him without them? Well, I don't know. But there's lots of things that we can look forward to in the kingdom of God. When God makes his dwelling with men, there's the new Jerusalem that comes out of heaven, comes down to the earth. It has streets of gold, gates of pearl. You can read about it in the end of Revelation. That's pretty cool. That's something to see. And you know what's even more beautiful? It says there's a river in it. It says that no one will hunger or thirst. It says that the trees have leaves and that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. What does healing of nations mean? Peace. Absolute and total peace. We would all love that. We would love that. Not having anyone be angry with anybody else. People not getting offended at each other. That's going to be beautiful. Can't wait. The kingdom of God starts with us right now, in our hearts right now. And it grows. And in the future, we'll get to be a part of the physical kingdom of God. But we have to practice those principles now so we can be prepared for the future. So that we be worthy to be there. So that we can have a place reigning on earth with Jesus. Because when Jesus is reigning on earth, that 1,000-year period, there are people who are still alive who have not accepted Jesus at that point in time. And we're still going to have to use all those kingdom principles to help Jesus get things back into shape, right? To be good ambassadors, to be good kingdom citizens. And then that future. And it just goes on and on and on forever, because we have eternal life. We have eternal life. It's the great hope. It's the great hope. I hope that you have that hope in your heart. If you don't have that hope in your heart, if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, and that's something that you're interested in, please feel free to speak to either myself or Aaron and Wanda, who are up here leading worship, or Joyce, who is up here leading worship. And we'll help you to understand it better. I'm glad that you were able to pay attention to all of these verses this morning. I drove you through a whole lot, and guess what? There's a whole lot I didn't even touch on. Because it's hard to narrow it down, but we needed to narrow it down. This morning there's an old hymn that means a lot to several people that we'd like to sing as our closing song this morning. It may be new to some of you, but I think you'll enjoy it as well. And we'll ask our worship team to come and close us with the hymn, "The Kingdom is Coming."